views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to help illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from the KKNW studios here at Hubbard Radio in the Seattle area, and you may be listening on WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York, cable radio network in the U.S., or, of course, on Transformation Talk Radio. You're going to be glad you joined me today. It's going to be a fascinating conversation. But before we get into that, you know, the weekend that's coming up is a huge weekend, isn't it, Benny?
You know it is. Come on. I've been waiting to play that all day. Okay, the last hour I've played it quite a few times, but it never gets old, ever.
And, you know, it's been so much fun over the course of the season to see you, you know, dressed in your blue and green. And, you know, you're a huge fan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not a huge football fan, but I am a supporter of the team. And I will be watching on Sunday, which is sort of, you know, unusual for me.
So you're an honorary 12th man, which we do appreciate. I have been a Seahawk fan, honestly, since I moved down here from the state of Alaska. So I needed something to log into. And I've never left it. Steve Largent fan all through the days. And what's really cool is all of the city's businesses, whether it's Bellevue, Factoria, Seattle, whatever, they all have gotten into the whole gelling of the 12th man. Yes. I mean, we're up behind T-Mobile right off of 405 and I-90 right here. They've lit up their buildings blue and green, and it's super cool in the mornings. And, of course, with the fog, it makes it even more mystical.
Yes, and it's great to see people come together like that.
I know, and everyone really on the street high-fiving people. You'd never know, like, what's up, 12th man? Go Seahawks. Yeah, we're going to do it this weekend. And yes, I mean, I'm waiting for this whole week and the last couple of months just to be over with, to be honest, because, I mean, I really want to go parade on Monday downtown. I really do. Ticker tape. Let's do this. Come on, Hawks.
You have your priorities there. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. I might be like, I'm sick. I can't make it into work, boss. I can't do it.
Fortunately, my show doesn't air on Monday. So
you're lucky.
No.
You're lucky.
You know, it's a big weekend in other ways, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got another new moon. Is that right? Or is it full moon?
I'm going to have to double check, but we're close. I know we're close.
You know, I'm really excited about my guest today. It's funny because here on the Christine Upchurch Show, we get lots and lots of requests to have people on. We hear from lots of publicists. We hear from individuals. So we're, you know, perpetually sorting through them. And there's some wonderful people out there. And I'm so grateful that we get, you know, connected with them. But typically it's a longer process. It's like, okay, well, you know, this person looks good. That person looks like a possibility. And I will have, you know, my assistant, Peggy Snow, actually sort through the guests and read about them. And, you know, unless I have read their book or met them personally, I really don't know until there's been a little research. But when this publicist, you know, sent me the email about this particular guest, I thought, Ooh, there's something about her that I feel really strongly about. And so I sent it immediately to my assistant and I said, Peggy, if she looks good, let's just jump on it. And she looked, you know, really quickly and said, oh yeah, she looks great. And so we jumped on it and I'm so glad we did. Carolyn Gervais is her name. She is a certified hypnotherapist. She's got her master's in holistic nutrition. She's an ordained spiritual psychologist and she's been a professional singer for more than two decades. She is the author of a very interesting book called I Dreamed I Was Human, Awakening from Illusion. And I'm very happy to welcome today Carolyn Gervais. Carolyn, welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You know, Carolyn, you know, over my years as an energy healer and as a workshop facilitator, I've come into contact with lots and lots of people who have said, you know, as children, you know, growing up and also sometimes as adults, they felt different. They felt like perhaps they didn't belong here. And, you know, it's interesting how prevalent it is within the context of that community. But you had something very different, sort of went beyond that when you were a child. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about your childhood, your young childhood?
From where I began to realize I was a human?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Okay.
Oh, that.
In a human form. Well, I'll tell you, it was like one day I was looking around me. It was starting from the age of 3 to 5, I can remember looking out at the world around me, especially if I was like at my grandparents' house and my parents were there, and I have a twin sister and she was there. So I remember just standing there watching everybody doing whatever they were doing.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, what is going on here? You know, how did I get here? It seemed like I had a memory of where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was a peaceful, calm, loving place. And then I felt like I had just been dropped on this planet, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I thought, how did I get here? And why am I here? And I know that's hard to believe that a child could think that, but, you know, as a soul, we know how to think.
Uh-huh, of course.
You know, and so now could I have said it in words? No, I could not.
Right.
But these were feelings I had, and I remember them, and I was thinking, I don't like the feel of this place. Not at
oh,
all.
Dear.
It was so chaotic and noisy and
and
confusing. And I said, all I know is I have to find my way back to where I was before I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought at that moment that I would do whatever it took to find my way back to what I felt was my real home. And so I decided just to watch everything going on around me and try to make sense of it, which I spent my life doing. And in that process, I remember that I was looking at the world through what I would call a white haze, like a white gauze, thin white gauze.
Interesting. So kind of like looking through a veil of some sort.
Yeah. But I, you know, I assumed that I didn't think of that and know that I was seeing the world through this white, hazy gauze until at 5 years old, it was suddenly just removed.
Mm.
And all of a sudden at 5, I realized that I realized what some of the relationships in my life meant. I mean, my grandparents would kiss me and hug me, and I wondered why they were doing that, because I didn't even know who these people were, you know, to me. You know, and my parents said, these are your grandparents, and they tried to explain to me what that meant, but it didn't make sense to me. So when I was 5 years old, I was standing in my grandmother's living room, and I was just standing there like in a mesmerized state of mind, like a meditation, when all of a sudden that white haze was removed from my eyes, and I suddenly realized what it meant that my grandparents were my grandparents. They were my father's parents. For the first time, that made sense to me, but then that also meant that my father was a child once, and that seemed just totally impossible.
Sure.
But yet, you know, and I thought, oh my goodness, yes, okay, now I understand that. And so I always have been a person, even as a small child in elementary school, where I just did not know how to fit in. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. So I watched my twin sister, and I'm the oldest twin, and the oldest twin usually is the one that is out there being more talkative and more everything, you know.
Interesting, even if it's only, like, you know, a birth order of a few minutes apart?
Yeah, we're 20 minutes apart.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would watch my twin sister because she was better at mingling and getting kids to talk to her and interested in listening to her. And where I, you know, I didn't have a clue as to how to begin. So I started copying her, but that just felt so unnatural for me. It just felt like that isn't me, but yet I couldn't figure out who me was.
Right. You know, Carolyn, one of the things I find so fascinating about this is so many of our spiritual teachers talk about this veil that exists between our human reality and the higher frequency, you know, spiritual energetic reality. And, you know, being able, some people have the gift or can learn to tune in to look through that veil. But it's almost like when you talk about that gauzy look, it's almost like you were existing on the other side of the veil on some level. And you had to find your way into the human form.
Yeah. And at five, I felt that as I got older and I looked back on all this, I thought, what was going on? You know, and
right.
through my studies and through meditation and all that stuff, I realized that at five, when that was removed, I actually went from being the observer, mm-hmm. more the observer, into actually being a participant in the human life.
Right. So it's kind of like watching a TV program for a long time and then suddenly being a part of it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
Fascinating.
And I thought, you know, now I've got to figure it out.
So given your background, I know you've got some interesting insights and you've had, you know, quite the experience as a human, as many of us have. It hasn't been an easy road. And when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show, Carolyn, I'm going to want you to share some of your challenges and how you've gotten to the point where you have put it all into context to be able to help others. We'll be back in a moment here with Carolyn Gervais, author of I Dreamed I Was Human.
What's getting your attention as physical pain or illness? Have doctors been unable to help? Consider an intuitive healing session with Christy Borst. Amazing things happen every day, sometimes with jolting awareness, and sometimes with subtle shifts aided with Christy's divine healing gift. Release that which no longer serves you. For more information and to contact Christy, visit healingresonance.us. That's healingresonance.us.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
I can be what I want to be.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show, and interesting music that Benny has chosen today. Spunky, and I know I can be what I want to be. It's a wonderful message.
Amen to that.
And I'm having a conversation today with Carolyn Gervais. She's the author of I Dreamed I Was Human. Now, Carolyn, you know, you talked about how the first 5 years or so of your life, you were in this observer perspective, you know, wanting to get back home. And then at some point you sort of jumped in as a participant in the human body and, you know, psyche. As a participant in the human race, have you faced challenges over the years?
Oh, it's been constant.
Welcome to planet Earth.
I know, really. And it's like, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? Uh-huh. But anyway, yes, from the time I was a little child, I have faced tremendous challenges. Not everybody experiences challenges,
sure.
But that's just part of being in human form. Otherwise, there would be no reason to be here if we didn't have challenges. Because we learn from those challenges. We learn to know ourselves and understand ourselves better through each challenge that we go through.
So how so? Can you give me an example?
Okay. Well, for instance, I grew up in a family where my mother was an alcoholic, mm-hmm. and she had some pretty heavy mental problems, and my father was very harsh in his discipline and on every level. And so I grew as that child. I was basically protecting myself all the time because mm-hmm. it seemed to me I never was around my twin sister, and I were never around other kids very often until we were 6 years old when we first started school. That was first grade because mm-hmm. back then you had to pay for kindergarten. You probably have to pay for it now, but back then you had to pay for it, and my dad wasn't willing to do that. So we didn't start school till we were six, and then they separated my twin sister and I and put us in different classes.
Oh, how horrible.
Well, my mom and dad wanted it that way because they felt that we would find our own individuality easier and faster to do it that way.
So right now, I'm going to interrupt just one second. So I don't know, Carolyn, we haven't discussed this, but I'm a father of twin boys, and they just turned three, and I highly disagree with that move. I'm sorry. I don't know why. Yeah. Why? I mean, I really am. I'm a flat, you know,
well,
beside myself on
one.
Yeah, I'm just beside myself on why would you separate something that's a gift for each of them and to work together.
Right.
Right.
But I digress.
Well, that's a good point because especially if it's their first year in school, that is so traumatic.
It is.
And I would sit there in my first grade class, tears running down my face constantly, scared to death because I had never been around other kids very much. And so I didn't know what to do. And I just felt so abandoned.
sure.
So as I went through the elementary school years, I was watching everybody and studying what the rest of the human race was doing, you know, as far as being in elementary school and teachers.
Right.
And I was trying to figure out what was going to be my personality because I really didn't really have one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. So it's like you came in sort of to the physical body and you were no longer just an observer, you became a participant, but you hadn't really found yourself, so to speak.
Right. Where my twin sister had. But you know, we're different souls. So of course she's gonna bring her lessons in and I'm gonna bring mine in and bring our challenges in with
us. Right.
So by the time I was in sixth grade, I pretty well figured out how to have at least one friend a year.
Uh-huh.
I had one friend a year, and that was okay. And I never played with my twin sister because she was so busy with her friends that she kind of just ignored me, too.
Oh, dear.
So I went off on my own and thought, okay, well, I got to make my own friends so that I I'm not competing with my sister and her friends.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, your home life, you know, from your book, I just felt so bad for you and your sister as a child, mm-hmm. because you said your mother had a lot of issues with depression. Your father was rather harsh. You know, we're not talking about, oh, she was, you know, a little depressed. I mean, it went to some great extremes, didn't it?
Extreme depressed. Yeah. And most of the time. Yeah. We never knew what she was going to do from one day to the next. And she would take overdoses of prescription drugs and lock herself in the bathroom while my sister and I sat outside the door begging her to come out because we knew what she had done. We'd always know what was going on. Uh-huh. I mean, my dad couldn't hide it. My mother couldn't hide it.
Sure.
And so my dad, you know, he'd try to get her to open up the door and she wouldn't do it. So he'd finally just go find something to open it with.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd go off to the hospital to get her stomach pumped out.
All four of you would go?
Yeah, because he couldn't leave us at home.
Uh-huh.
We were too young. And it was usually at night. And so we'd sit out there in the parking lot of the hospital waiting for them for 2 hours or mm-hmm. more or whatever the case may be. And, you know, and I remember thinking back then, I think, what did I do to get these parents?
Right.
What did I do wrong that I don't remember, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I realized, you know, okay, well, this is how it is. So I just have to keep on my path to find out how to get back to where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you finally sort of entered into, you know, the human participation
mm-hmm.
Around age five, then not only did you get sort of abandoned by your sister, you were perpetually abandoned by your mother mm-hmm. in one way or another, or the threat of abandonment, and then, you know, on a certain level, your father as well.
Mm-hmm.
How did abandonment ultimately serve you? How did that challenge help you on your path here?
It forced me to constantly question why and what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to? I had deep questions even at that age. I used to ask my grandfather. My grandparents were good grandparents, so that was one great thing we had in mm-hmm. our life was our grandparents. And I remember always asking my grandfather these deep questions like, how did we get here, Grandpa? Why did God make us?
Mm-hmm.
And why did he make us? And I thought, you know, once you were an adult, you had all the answers to everything. I mean, that made sense.
Right. Yeah, well, that would be nice, but not quite true.
Yeah. And so I remember asking my grandfather those questions, and he said, honey, we don't know the answers to those questions.
Uh-huh.
He says, God only knows those answers. And I says, well, what can't God tell us? He says, no, God doesn't want us to know the answers to those questions.
Oh, interesting. So do you still agree that?
No.
Okay.
Are you kidding? I'd be gone if I still agreed with that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't still be. I don't think I could live in a world like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so, you know, I would question why I was here and what God was. I used to lay out in the backyard when I was a kid, even through my teenage years and later, but before I left home, I would lay down in the backyard on the grass
uh-huh.
and look up in the sky and try to figure out what God was.
Right. And that is one of those big questions that I think many of us have asked repeatedly throughout our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in your book, you talk some about how it can... Our notion of God can either serve us or cause us difficulty.
Right.
First, can you share with our listeners what your notion of God is?
Well, it took me a while to get to the place I am as far as how I see God. It's like every spiritual growth and human growth, the process is takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're constantly like, getting little answers and then then answers that make the little answer bigger and then so on and so forth until
right.
the answers get bigger and bigger and actually harder to even decipher because the more complicated the questions are, the more complicated the answers. So
sure.
your mind has to be trained to and open to understand the biggest picture you're able to understand of that answer.
And, of course, that's such a good point, open enough, because, you know, we often have been programmed and have bought into belief systems regarding all sorts of things, including what God is and our role in this whole process. And that can have problems, can't it?
Yes, because see, people, we humans have been blaming what we call God for all of our problems and challenges forever. And it's God's fault. God's punishing me. That's why I'm suffering. Mm. God brought me this challenge so I would suffer because I've been bad.
Yes.
And that's not it. Mm-hmm. I realized that's not it. I mean, my own mother taught me that God punishes you when you're bad.
Mm-hmm.
And even as that child, I thought, what?
Yeah.
Why would God punish us? My mom says that God loves us more than anything in the world, mm-hmm. anything, anywhere. And I said, well, if God loves us so much when I was little, why does he want to punish us when we're bad?
No
she
kidding.
Says, because if God doesn't punish you, then you won't know you made a mistake.
Oh, and, my goodness.
Yes.
Yes. In other words, we the lack of love is somehow justified because it'll teach us a lesson.
That's right. And that's what my dad always told us when he hit us. And he didn't just hit us with his hand. He would use instruments,
yeah.
you know, and he'd say, I'm doing this to you because I love you.
Right.
And I thought, oh, God, I could do a little less without all that love.
You know, Carolyn, we have to go to another quick break. But when we return, love to chat more with you about this and about how people can sort of shift their perception on God when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show with Carolyn Gervais.
Join us February 14th through the 17th for the 22nd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference in Seattle. Come explore the new paradigm, riding the wave of the heart. Inspirational speakers, experiential workshops will change your life for good. Join Donna Eden, Esther Nicholson, Jalaja Bonheim, Julie McIntyre, and S.J. Tucker. Everything is individually priced, and evening events are open to men. Reduce prices for teens, students, and seniors. Looking for community? Join us this February. Visit womenofwisdom.org. That's womenofwisdom.org. Oh, and you'll want to attend the CD music release concert that S.J. Tucker is giving Saturday, February 15th. That's womenofwisdom.org, 206-782-3363. That's 206-782-3363.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern to Spirit Guidance Radio with Shannon Walbrand on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with South Africa's top psychic will amaze and uplift you. Call in to receive detailed, specific answers that offer immediate solutions as Shannon interprets messages from your spirit guides. Whether it's love, business, or health, your spirit guides are ready to help. Visit ShannonWalbrand.com for more info. You are guided.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Carolyn Gervais. She's the author of I Dreamed I Was Human. Now, Carolyn, before we get into some more of the goodies that you have to share, I just want to make sure that people know how they can connect with you. What's your website?
My personal website is awakeningyou, Y-O-U. .com, and then there's my book website, which is idreamediwashuman.com.
Yeah, and for those of you who want to Google her name as well, it's C-A-R-O-L-Y-N, and then G-E-R-V-A-I-S, which I assume that your last name is French?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
thanks to my husband.
yeah, it's a beautiful name, but it's not an easy one to spell if you just hear
well,
it first.
Well, that's why I married him, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking about this concept of a punitive God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know based on, you know, where you're at in your life and what I've read in your book that you've gotten beyond that. Where are you right now in terms of your perspective on God?
Well, my perspective is that we are blaming the wrong, we are putting the blame in the wrong places for our suffering and for our challenges in life.
Okay.
We were given as a gift from the creative force the ability to think for ourselves called and to choose for ourselves, which is called free will.
Uh-huh.
And with that gift, we were given the choice to decide how we wanted to live, what we chose to experience in our lives, what we wanted our life to look like, and the relationships in our life and everything that went along with human life.
Uh-huh.
We said, okay, no, I want to do it myself, creative force. I will tell you when I want your help. And so that is how I see it, that God is there on the sidelines, mm-hmm. you know, ready when we ask for it. But we have developed over these thousands and millions and billions of years what I call the human ego, which is also can be called the personality.
Mm-hmm.
And the human ego works through the personality and forms the personality. And
so do you feel like, you know, on some level you chose your parents and your whole life situation?
Oh, yes. Absolutely, because if we didn't, then we wouldn't really have free will.
Mm.
We wouldn't be able. We would have no use for that free will.
So the free will started on soul level, and probably on
yes.
some, you know, on some twisted level, those of us who've chosen to enter into some very dysfunctional situations thought, "Oh, this will be such a great learning experience," and then we get into human form, and it's so
not
difficult,
not so much fun.
No.
Yeah, but on a soul level, we see things totally different than we do on a human when we're in human form.
Sure.
Everything in human form is really every challenge, every bit of suffering is something we have chosen by our choices in life, by our beliefs, by our perceptions.
Uh-huh.
Whatever happens to us in our life is an experience. That experience triggers emotions and feelings, and those feelings and emotions trigger some kind of concept of what it all means, which forms a belief about that experience.
Right. And so often those beliefs are really wrong.
Yeah. And belief is just a perception.
Yeah.
It's not an absolute. It's coming from our human mind.
So instead of blaming God, we should be blaming ourselves on
some
level.
Exactly. Taking responsibility. responsibility.
Yes,
not saying,
yes.
Oh, you bad person, you.
Right.
But taking responsibility and saying, no, okay, somehow I created this by my choices. And so really, every challenge that comes to us, even if, and I don't know, I'm not being unfeeling here, but even if, let's say someone loses their child, okay, that there is a soul agreement between souls as to what they're willing to agree to when in human form.
Yeah.
So even when, let's say, someone loses a child, that was the soul agreement before you came here.
Yeah. And it, I mean, I can't think of anything worse as a parent.
I can't either.
And
I mean,
and yet, you know, we, it's not like, you know, they're just this baby or child. They're
yeah.
soul
right.
with a mission, with
right.
learning experiences.
Of their own.
Exactly. And, you know, we're all kind of playing this game together collaboratively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in those soul agreements and in those relationships, we are triggering different things in each other to bring up what we want to resolve and heal mm-hmm. inside of us that is not conscious yet.
Right.
And this is what challenges do. They bring up those old patterns, those old ways of thinking that could be clear in the subconscious, and we are in denial mode to where we don't even know they're there.
Right.
Unless life gives us something that says, okay, now you have to look at it.
Sure. And from an energetic perspective, I always think of, like, you know, we've got some sort of blockage in our system, and we have light that keeps coming through to kind of illuminate it, and it gets bigger and bigger until we really, really have to deal with it, or things fall apart, in which case we have to deal with it anyway. So one way or another, we're going to have to deal with it in order to evolve past it.
Exactly. We have to figure out how to move through it instead of avoiding it.
Oh, yeah.
That avoids. Because you can avoid it.
Yeah. So how do we tend to avoid things? What, from your perspective, how do we humans avoid dealing with what we really should be dealing with?
Well, when we don't want to face something within ourselves, let's say that a person has, like I was this, as a child, this person has a personality that for some reason is just not pleasant to other humans.
Uh-huh.
And people will grow up and they'll think, why don't people like me?
Uh-huh.
What's wrong with me? And so rather than deal with that because it's so painful, because experience has shown that dealing with that is painful, so we let it go into the back of our mind and pretend it doesn't exist.
All right. Just to survive and function, usually
just
as a child.
Survive and function.
Yeah.
And that's good. And that's necessary for a while, but you can't do it forever.
Right.
So eventually that's going to have to be faced and looked at and said, okay, what do I do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And we do that by taking responsibility for everything we think, feel, do, and experience in life, and not blame anything but our soul programming, what our soul is telling us or showing us we need in order to move past this certain blockage, let's say.
Yeah. And, you know, earlier in the conversation, Carolyn, you were mentioning the word gift, to see things as gifts on a soul level, on a
yeah.
learning level. And, you know, I personally have gotten to that place with some very difficult things in my life.
Good.
But it's not easy to do that.
No. No, because we always have the ego part of us, or the personality part of us saying, oh, well, I shouldn't have to feel this way.
Right.
Poor me. You know, so we have a tendency to make it harder than it is because we're resisting it. We're resisting it.
Sure.
Because it's painful.
It is. And oftentimes I think what underlies some of the, you know, the resistance is we're afraid that if we face it, that we're going to end up facing that we are somehow unlovable.
Yeah.
And that is something that, you know, would be completely devastating.
Right. But when we feel we're unlovable, or we feel we're not good enough, or anything good about ourselves, we're very afraid of not being worthy of anything,
yeah,
much of anything that
yeah.
God would want to give us.
Yeah.
So that's resistance, constant resistance, and pushing away. When we're in that kind of mode and we're resisting life and the experiences that we're experiencing right now, then we are pulling ourselves down and setting up walls and making it harder for us to move through our fears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that F word, fear.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It is one of the biggest motivators in our human experience, isn't it?
It is. But it's all a gift from the creative force. This free will said, okay, you're living in a duality now. So there's for every good, there's a bad. For every dark, there's a light. For every up, there's a down. For every suffering, there's joy. So we have to experience both sides because we're living in this duality. And actually, we are made up of those two sides.
Yes.
We are made from the feminine and masculine polarity. We are a mixture of the feminine and masculine polarity. That in itself, in human form, becomes separated
right.
to where if we come into a female form, then we need a companion that's male, or even if somebody is gay, they still have a negative. One has more of a negative or feminine polarity, and is expressing more out of that feminine polarity, and the other is probably expressing more out of that masculine polarity, whether it shows up in their demeanor or not.
Right.
Or the way they look or whatever. It's still there. So we are attracted to the other polarity that we believe matches ours the best.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not always true.
Yeah.
Because we also have karmic relations with other people. So,
God bless that karma.
That's right. And so we attract what we need to prepare us for the ultimate, let's say, relationship.
Uh-huh.
Or sometimes people are not meant to have a partner in life, you know. But we are being prepared through our life to open to the best we can receive through our awareness level at the time.
Right. Yeah, and when we return, Carol, I'm going to go on another quick break, but when we return, I'm going to be really curious about your perspective of why we choose to come into human form, and also about do we exist in multiple dimensions or realities, when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to transformationtalkradio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings, here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you?
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
ACT, Advanced Cell Training, is a restorative healing process created by Gary Bleier to address the body malfunctions that contribute to illness. This breakthrough learning program teaches health insights and principles, strategic integration of both traditional and alternative modalities, while clients train their own bodies to heal themselves. Visit AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW WBLQ Cable Radio Network and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a wonderful conversation today with my guest, Carolyn Gervais. She's the author of I Dreamed I Was Human. Now, Carolyn, you know, we're talking about the challenges of being in human form, and you shared some of your own personal challenges and, you know, the benefits of experiencing these challenges so that we can grow. Why do we keep coming back into human form?
Because we, what people call reincarnation, I call incarnation. Because I believe and know through science and through just my own experiences that time does not exist outside this realm of existence, earthly realm.
As strange as that may sound and as hard as it is to wrap our somewhat linear minds around, I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with you.
And some of the ways that I know that is, well, I'll get to that after this. We come back into human form because, believe it or not, we are multidimensional and we are in bodies everywhere, you know. And it's
simul lives, yes.
Yeah. And we're not meant to know all the time about these different aspects of us on the earth, because life would get even more confusing if we were constantly tuning in to other aspects of us and dealing with their problems too.
So, sure.
You know, so this is why we are in our own frequency. But we come back because we've invested so much energy and time, quote unquote, in this duality, in this realm, that we have created karmic karma. Period. Karma, and we've made choices that have created karma in us. So therefore, we have to keep coming back and deal with that here on the in the realm where it was created.
So we have more to learn, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so therefore we come back to learn what we need to learn, and then we create more karma and come back and learn more.
That's right. But eventually it keeps the karma we end with gets less than what it was the time before or in other lifetimes.
Right.
Beyond that.
One would hope, you know, considering some people really don't want to open up to the personal evolution and the inner growth. And I think it's actually probably possible to create more karma going out than we had coming in.
Oh, it is. It depends on the soul itself, you know, because some souls that come in, I mean, you can tell just from the time they're born, they're here karmically.
Sure.
You know, and they're probably going to have a very challenging life, but in a different way than, let's say, like somebody that becomes a serial killer, you know. For me, I've had a very challenging life, but it has pushed me inward, where somebody else, it might push them outward.
Yes.
More.
Right.
Yeah. Or more into the ego.
So if we're living multiple lives and living past, present, and future all simultaneously, Is there only one? I mean, is there only one version of each life, or do you think that there are multiple versions?
There's multiple versions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you had experiences that have actually helped you to know that on a deep level?
Yes, I have. And I've been having them since I was, I haven't had a lot of them, but I've had them to where I know that I'm being shown something about myself and about life. And that is, the first one I had was when I was 25. And I was living in a one-story apartment complex with my son. I was getting a divorce from my first husband. And one day, a friend of mine came over one morning she came over, and we were talking inside my apartment, and she heard the noise of a coffee pot percolating. And she says, "Where's that coming from?" And I pointed to the wall where it was coming from. I said, "Oh, it's the lady in the end apartment. I hear her percolator every morning." And she says, "What do you mean in the end apartment?" I said, "In the end apartment, no, next door to me." And she says, "Carolyn, that's not possible." I said, "Why?" She says, "Because you're in the end apartment." I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "Well, you think I'm crazy or something?" "No, I know. I mean, I see this lady all the time that lives there. She's very lonely. She's got long, straight, dark hair. She's probably about 50. Her clothes are very plain, kind of even very unsexist at all. You know what I'm saying? You know,
unisex.
Unisex. Yeah, and very drab, and I feel she's depressed, and it really bothers me. And I know she lives alone." And so I said the other day, she was coming home from work when I was coming home, and we were opening up our doors at the same time. And I said hi to her, and she didn't want to say hi back, but out of courtesy, she looked at me and said hi. And then she turned her head and went back and went into her apartment. And I said, you know, and I thought, maybe if I could let her know that I'm friendly, maybe she would want to be friends or something. And my friend said, "Okay, Carol, I believe you because I know crazy things happen to you."
Sure.
She says, "But do me a favor. Go outside and look and see what apartment you live in. I'll wait here." And I said, "Well, now you're being really creepy." And I said,
she's being very rational, actually.
Yeah. And I said, "Okay, I'll go out to prove it to you and to me." So I went out, and sure enough, that apartment was not there anymore. And I didn't think I was crazy because I'd been in metaphysics since I was 17.
Sure.
So I just thought, okay, God's showing me something here. That must be an aspect of me,
right?
You know, and I realized that after that experience. That had to be what we now call a parallel life.
Sure.
Because every front door opened on the right of everyone's apartment in the whole complex, and every front door was exactly alike. But in her apartment, which was the end apartment, I thought, opened on the far left, which means her door was right next to my door, like looking in a mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I've had an experience where I actually tuned into a parallel version of myself. I moved from Nebraska when I was a teenager, Nebraska to Massachusetts, and I was still living in Nebraska, had a different hairstyle, smoking cigarettes, and I actually thought I started to feel some congestion. I asked her to stop smoking, and then I realized, oh no, that's silly, you know. But it was as real as any kind of memory of you know being a child or something. It's like it's there, it's real. And so I really do agree with you that we do have other versions of ourself as well as the simultaneous lives.
Right.
And I really wish we had much more time to talk about this. But unfortunately, we're approaching the end of our show. Carolyn, again, can you share with our listeners your website?
My personal website is awakening, with an I-N-G, U-Y-O-U.com, awakeningyou.com. And my book website is idreamediwashuman.com.
Yeah.
And I'm also on Facebook.
Wonderful.
And, yeah.
Thank you so much, Carolyn, for joining
us here
today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you, the listener, for joining us here. You can also find me on Facebook, The Christine Upchurch Show, and also find me and my practitioners at Stellar Reflections on Facebook, as well as stellarreflections.com. And I really appreciate you joining me here today. Please join me again next week. We're going to be talking to J.M. DeBord on how to remember, interpret, and live your dreams.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com. On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Come alive and shine with the Alive and Shine radio show with Adele and Savitri. Widen your perspective, learn to heal yourself, and clarify your power of choice so that you feel truly alive and shine. The Alive and Shine radio show is your how-to guide for creating a life in which your dreams come true. Listen live each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW or at aliveandshineshow.com.
Thank you for listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Like us on Facebook/Transformation Radio Network. Tweet and follow us at TransformNet. Visit us at www.TransformationTalkRadio.com and find us on Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, SpiritualNetworks.com, Flickr, Tumblr, and Spreaker. Just search for Transformation Talk Radio. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all
listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Torella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Torella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.